What drives someone to abandon everything, family, friends, the entire structure of modern life, and disappear into the woods for nearly 3 decades? In 2013, when police arrested Christopher Knight after 27 years of complete solitude in the Maine wilderness, the world couldn't look away. Here was a man who had survived over 1,000 brutal winters without lighting a single fire, sustaining himself through meticulous midnight thefts from nearby cabins. Stephen King called his story a meditation on solitude, wildness, and survival. But Knight's tale cuts deeper than survival. It questions the very foundations of what we consider a meaningful human existence. In an age where we measure connection by followers and meaning by productivity, Knight chose absolute isolation. His story isn't just about one man's retreat. It's a mirror reflecting our own complicated relationship with society, connection, and the persistent human hunger for something we can't quite name. Knight's 1,000-plus break-ins were meticulously planned operations. He'd spend days observing cabins, memorizing light patterns and seasonal rhythms. Rainy midweek nights became his ideal window. Drizzle masked sound while providing visibility. Weekends and holidays were strictly avoided. Before each raid, he'd watch from shadow for up to 8 hours, ensuring absolute emptiness. His movements remained controlled as he took only essentials, non-perishable foods, propane, batteries, books. Valuables remained untouched. His break-ins were surgical, windows carefully pried, locks picked with homemade tools, damage meticulously repaired. Victims reported surreal details, door hinges perfectly replaced, heavy mattresses extracted through impossibly small openings. Knight became powerful folklore. Families hermit-proofed their cabins, while others left care packages requesting communication. He never acknowledged these offerings. Despite cameras and stakeouts, his woodcraft kept him ghost-like. Each raid provided 2 weeks of supplies and his only moments of excitement. When caught, he confessed immediately with remarkable candor, expressing deep shame. "Everything is stolen. The only thing I can honestly say is mine are my eyeglasses." Knight's genius lay in hiding in plain sight. His camp sat just 3 minutes from the nearest cabin, within earshot of summer vacationers, yet remained undetected for 27 years. Natural boulder formations and dense hemlock thickets protected his living room-sized clearing, completely invisible from steps away. The entrance was pure optical illusion, a narrow gap between two massive rocks that appeared as one boulder from 3 feet away. Inside, an elaborate A-frame structure of overlapping tarps and garbage bags created a functional home with kitchen, organized storage, and bedroom with a real mattress. His rainwater collection system and vertical storage ropes wrapped around trees, some items held so long the trees grew around them, demonstrated remarkable ingenuity. His obsessive camouflage extended to spray painting coolers forest colors and covering shiny surfaces with mud and moss. Game Warden Sergeant Hughes described Knight's forest movement with professional amazement, every step precisely placed, never breaking a twig, moving like a cat in an almost meditative state of awareness. Christopher Knight grew up in rural Albion, Maine, the fifth of 6 children in a family that valued self-sufficiency and Yankee ingenuity. The Knights were intellectually curious but socially reserved, keep-to-themselves people who prized practical skills over social connections. Chris was quiet, shy, and wicked smart. After high school, he took an electronics course and briefly worked installing alarm systems before abruptly quitting. Without telling anyone, he embarked on a solitary road trip to Florida and back. During this journey, a lifetime of comfort with solitude transformed into resolve. Driving past his family home one last time without stopping, he headed north until reaching remote Moosehead Lake. Nearly out of gas, he parked, left the keys on the console, and with only basic camping supplies, no compass or map, stepped into the trees and walked away. Why would a 20-year-old with a job, car, and intelligence abandon society? Knight claimed he didn't fully know. No childhood trauma, abuse, or specific cause he could name. Unlike Thoreau, whom Knight dismissed as a dilettante who socialized frequently, Knight was a true hermit, someone who turned their back completely on society. "I had no plans when I left," he said. "I just did it." This absence of dramatic motivation makes his story more unsettling. Sometimes the most radical transformations emerge not from crisis, but from quiet, inexplicable certainty.
Knight's only plan was getting lost, literally lost in the woods. Carrying minimal supplies, he felt instinctually pulled southward through Maine's valleys. With no gun or fishing rod, hunger forced him to overcome his rigid moral upbringing and steal from gardens. Living in dirt, Knight remained remarkably healthy. Without human contact, he avoided typical germs. He memorized poison ivy locations so thoroughly he could navigate them in darkness. After each theft, he'd organize food by spoilage rate, ground beef before Twinkies. Winter presented the ultimate test. As cabins closed, Knight intensified all-night raids. Harvest time, a very ancient instinct. He gained weight through sugar and alcohol, stockpiled non-perishables and warm clothes, and secured propane for melting snow. Once snow fell, he remained in camp until spring thaw to avoid leaving tracks. During the coldest months, he'd sleep at 7:30 p.m. and arise at 2 a.m. to prevent freezing, immediately lighting his stove and pacing his camp to circulate blood. Temperatures dropped to negative 20 and below. That's when you do have religion. His survival wasn't romantic wilderness adventure, but brutal, repetitive endurance requiring absolute discipline.
"I spent most of my free time doing nothing," Knight explained, "sitting on my bucket or lawn chair in quiet contemplation, not chanting or assuming lotus position, just daydreaming and thinking." He never experienced boredom once. Ancient Chinese hermits understood wu wei, non-doing, something largely absent from today's world. From his clearing, Knight's hearing grew exceptionally sharp. Each season brought distinctive sounds: spring's wild turkeys and chirping frogs, summer's songbirds and powerboats, autumn's drumming grouse and deer walking on cornflakes, winter's ice cracks like bowling balls rolling down alleys. Knight practiced Stoicism, the Greek philosophy emphasizing self-control and harmony with nature. "There was no one to complain to in the woods, so I did not complain." He venerated Socrates, who taught that freedom comes not from fulfilling desires, but eliminating them. Time lost meaning. Years were meaningless. I measured time by the season and moon. The boundary between himself and the forest dissolved. My desires dropped away. I didn't even have a name. To put it romantically, I was completely free. Knight existed in the perpetual now, without past or future. You're just there. You are. Knight's body began failing, deteriorating eyesight, slower healing, constant tooth pain. 2 months after ice fishermen swore secrecy, he was caught during a midnight raid at Pine Tree Camp. After nearly 10,000 nights outdoors, he slept inside. His story sparked astonishing reactions. Marriage offers, free land, cash donations, 5 songs, even the hermit sandwich. Cabin owners were divided between respect and violation. After 7 months in jail, Knight entered a court program: mandatory counseling, weekly appearances, living with his mother, employment, community service. His brother provided unpaid engine work, fulfilling requirements without social interaction. 7 months later, Knight confessed, "I'm not doing very well." At nearly 50, after sacrificing everything for autonomy, he couldn't make simple decisions. Everyone treated him like a child. He asked if he was crazy, revealed plans for suicide by hypothermia. "I miss the woods," he said through tears. Knight graduated with flawless performance. When the author visited his camp, everything was cleared. His final letter included a small flower drawing, perhaps suggesting adaptation. Knight's journey challenges our assumptions. We measure worth by productivity, connection by followers, meaning by achievement. But what if freedom lies in elimination, not accumulation? He didn't find answers in the woods. He found courage to stop asking questions that don't matter. Sometimes the most profound statement is silence.